episode of Afros in the Diaspora, and today we have Tulani, aka T. Octavius. He is a writer of South African and Zimbabwean heritage based here in Canada. Mr. T. Tulani, T. Octavius, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm blessed. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm good. You know, I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, so am I. I'm going to fail the trivia probably 100%, but...
Why would you speak such negative words over yourself? I don't understand.
I left home early. I was young. But I'm here. Okay. Let's try it. Let's go for it.
I mean, I'll try it. I'll try to go easy on you. But
thank
I... I mean, me going easy on you, you may not see it that way, but... I'm trying my best. Right. Awesome. Okay. So I'm going to, because you're from two African countries, I'm going to mix it a little bit.
Hold on. Wait. I'm mostly Zimbabwean. I know nothing of my South African heritage. I can.
Wow. Okay. Fine.
Okay, not answer any questions. I'm sorry, my South African side, yo, forgive me. I was raised Zimbabwean.
Were you raised Zimbabwean in Zimbabwe or were you in South Africa?
I was raised Zimbabwean in Zimbabwe.
Okay.
I lived there for 7 years and then dipped.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. So I'm going to start with simple things, simple-ish, you know?
Okay.
I'm going to try. Right. What is the country's capital?
Harare.
Okay. Spell Harare for the people at the back.
Harare. That's okay. Where I was born and raised.
Born and raised. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, so... What is the name of the tallest mountain in Zimbabwe?
I think it's called Mount Nyangi, if I'm correct.
Yangani.
Yangai or Nyangi, something like that.
Yangani.
Yangani.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
Point for you.
Now I'm just trying to find, okay. My goodness, there are no easy ones. Ones in my opinion. I mean, like, I'm not from there, but like, all right. What's the name of the most popular fish in the highlands?
What kind of question is
that? It's a game fish. It's any guesses?
I plead the fifth.
The fifth.
What? I plead the fifth. What?
Not the fifth. Okay, the answer to that one. Geez. The answer to that one is... The answer to that is trout.
Oh, that was actually on my mind. Trout was on
look
my
at
mind.
You. Look at you. It was a lie. We don't believe you. It was not on your mind anything. You're lying.
I don't lie. I thought it was trout in my mind. In the back of my mind.
So why didn't you say it?
I was nervous, yeah? What if I said something silly and then like...
I mean, you won't get all the answers right. That's okay. Just, you know, if you feel like something is an answer, say it.
I will second guess myself again. I'm coming for these answers. Hey.
Describe the Zimbabwean flag.
It goes green, yellow, red, black, and then the reverse order of that, because I'm not going to remember right now. And then there's a white triangle to the left of it, and then... the Zimbabwean bird, like a golden bird.
What kind of bird is it?
People say it's an eagle fish, but it's really based on the statue that you can find in the Great Zimbabwe, like the ruins of Great Zimbabwe. So no one really knows, but people say eagle fish. But
yes, eagle fish. I had someone on the podcast say that Kay the Chosen, who is also from Zimbabwe.
I saw it.
And he was like, it's a chicken? Wait a minute. Not a chicken.
I said, my brother. I was like, you know what? I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
Not a chicken. But yes, correct. What is the name of the biggest river in Zimbabwe?
Kariva.
No.
River?
One more try. Yeah, river.
Oh, that was a lake. I was thinking the lake. Why am I thinking Zambezi? Hold up. No, it's not that.
It's not Zambezi, though.
Ooh, you got me on the river one. I can't lie.
It is the Save River.
Oh. Yeah, why do I know the lake but not the river?
I don't know who asked you about the lake, so I don't know.
Maybe a relative of mine would ask you.
Okay, next question. I think I'll ask you just like the last two questions. What is Zimbabwe's area code?
I actually don't know yet. I have so many of my relatives on WhatsApp.
You don't know?
I don't know. Like, genuinely, for the life of me, I see the number and I'll be like, yeah, it's from Zimbabwe. But I can't process it right now. It's not
possible. Wow, it is 263.
Ah, yeah. See, if I saw that, I know. Plus 260. If I see that, I know.
263.
If I see it, I know it. But right now, it was not processing.
Okay, well, I'm glad you now know it so that next time we can process, I guess. But yeah, no, that's the area code. And my final question for you will be about South Africa. You're just going to have to rep that's your father's side. You're going to have to rep that for a second.
That's my father's side. Lord have mercy. Please forgive me.
Okay. What color is also a royal house in the Netherlands and a river found in South Africa? It is also the name of a fruit.
It's a color?
Yeah. What color?
A royal house?
Yeah. It's the name of a royal house in the Netherlands, which, I mean, who knows that? But it is also a fruit, and it is also the name of a river in South Africa, a major river in South Africa.
Okay, the only thing I can think that's a fruit is an orange, but...
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it, the orange river. Yeah, look at you.
Yeah, rep.
Repping. You know your people by accident. Because you got that by accident. My days. You know what? Let me ask you this bonus round. We can't talk about South Africa without talking about this person, which is already a hint. What is the name of the Nobel Peace Prize winner who was elected the country's president as the first indigenous?
We're already talking. My tribesman, Nelson Mandela. We love him. Let's go.
All right. You got it. That's good.
repping.
An icon, a legend, an inspiration, you know? Oh, awesome. Okay. Oh, now we're gonna dive right into the riddles, okay?
Okay.
Are you ready?
No. But I don't have a choice.
I'm gonna ask you this. This one, I've asked this on the riddle on the podcast before. So if you don't get it, that means looking at you, sad eye. But where can you finish a book without finishing a sentence?
Where can you finish a book without finishing a sentence?
And you're an author, so where can someone pick up your book and read it without finishing a sentence?
How much time do I get to think about this one?
You, in fact, going.
am I dumb? I don't know.
The answer is... a prison, because they can finish a book, but they're still, you know, finishing their sentence. The prison sentence. So yeah, that's it.
Bombastic.
Bombastic. Awesome. Okay. Next question. You walk into a pitch black room. It is dark. Mm-hmm. However, you have only one match. You have some newspaper, a candle, and some firewood in front of you. Which one should you light first?
I want to say match, but is the match lit up though?
That's the answer. You light the
match
first.
That's the answer, right?
That's the answer. Good job. Okay. This is a very common one, but I'll ask it anyway. What gets wetter and wetter the more it dries?
I would think a towel, no?
Boy. A towel, okay. Mr. T. Octavius, you are on fire. See, you are on fire right now. Good job. That was good.
Oh, we used that. The first one is the one that caught me off guard.
The first one, I'll give you that first. I'll chalk it up to like nerves, or you were shy.
I wasn't ready, you know?
So that's good. That's good. Like, you actually did really, really good. Well done.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and that's the end of our riddles and trivia section. And thank you for engaging with me in that. Tulani, let's start with your story, your immigration story. Would you mind just sharing that with us? It's been established that your mom is Zimbabwean, your father is South African, but you were raised Zimbabwean.
All right. So, okay. We already established this. I am Zimbabwean born. I was born in Harare, and I was raised by my mother's side, which is the Zimbabwean side. So all I've known for during that time period for 7 years was just the Pasipamide side, which is my given name. And then from then on, I moved from Zimbabwe to the United States. I was supposed to live in England, but a lot of Zimbabweans over there. So we moved elsewhere. I lived in North Carolina for what was about 3-ish years. And then from there on, moved to New York. And then we moved here to Calgary. So it's been continent to continent, country to country, and I've been living here since 2008. So it's been a journey. Most of my life has now been Calgary.
Calgary. Wow. Yeah. That's really cool. So how did you get into writing? What inspired it? What was the thing that was like, a writer in me I see. Let me pick up my pen because it is greater than the sword or whatever. Like, what was that like for you?
I think for me, it would have been, well, I need to state this first. I hated reading. I hated reading as a child. So I never would have penned myself to be a writer at all. But my mind has always been very active and imaginative. So it began when I was, I would say, grade 6. You know, when they had you doing all those writing classes and making up stories and all this and that. So my teachers always loved my stories. So it was something that apparently I was just good at. But I never penned myself to dive into making those type of worlds seriously until I met an author, literally in grade 7, the year after. Grade 7, right? I'm not sure. And just seeing the way he was speaking about his novels, his thought process. It made me pick up his whole entire series. And then from then on, I've been reading and writing ever since. It's been a journey. So yeah, it started fairly young.
Fairly young. So right now, because I was on your website, I was like, it's a whole thing, man. So like, you have a novel out and it's titled Hair Apparent. And it seems like it is part of a series.
Yes.
And may I just ask you what inspired that particular work? Like, what was the thing that was like, you know what, this story is ready for the world to read it? You know, like what was the thing that inspired that particular?
COVID. COVID inspired it. But I think this particular story, in general, was something that I had been working on for a very long time. It really switched a lot, I will lie, because it's based on Greek mythology, but at some point it was a fusion of Greek and Egyptian mythology. So a lot of things happened to make it what it is today, but I found the time during COVID to actually write it because I was being compelled. Lord have mercy, I was really being compelled, having dreams, visions on this. I could not eat without thinking about it. It was so bad. It was so bad. So it was during that time where it really pushed me to be like, okay, I need to write it. And I have a best friend who's an actor, and he was also the one that was pushing me to also get it out there as well. So just great timing, I can say, just great timing.
So you before you eat, you first of all see it. You could not sleep. You could not eat. You could not. The story was just saying, write me, write me,
I would
write
be
me,
in the
write
shower
me.
and imagining it. So like
Wow.
it
I feel like when that happens, then it's time. Time. It's like
was
the world needs
bad.
this. Come on,
Yeah.
like
That's
yeah.
how it felt. That's how it felt.
That is awesome. So. Oh, okay. I don't know, spoilers, obviously. If you grab your copy now, it's available everywhere. Okay, dear listeners, go on the internet, and in fact, we'll get to his website and all that. He'll leave all that information with us today. But we've talked. I mean, you've shared about your heritage. How do you feel like you have been able to, how has that affected, I guess, your worldview, and how does it affect your writing? How does it affect maybe your style, inspirations, the stories you write about? How would you say that your place as a black man, you're an immigrant living out here in North America, but you're also South African and Zimbabwean, like how would you say those things impact your writing, and how does it show up in the way that you make art?
I think it makes me very cultural driven because all my stories or even the way I just approach life, I have this tendency of trying to get to understand other people's cultures. And I have this penchant for traveling. I love traveling because I love
That's awesome.
getting intertwined with everyone's cultures and understanding it and learning it. That's why I got into Greek mythology in the first place, and then from then on was studying the history of how like their past and everything like that. And even for no spoilers, there's another series in the works right now as well, but even with that, it's taking a lot of you could say Eastern traditions like and Western traditions and just mingling it all in one. And that just shows that I'm a very cultural person because I come from a very culturally diverse background. And for me, family, you can also see it in my works, it's like family is a very big, important topic for me as well. So a lot of my works also touch on family topics very heavily because it can be very diverse with what you experience and all that. So yeah, it's definitely, I think my background has definitely impacted the way in which I think and the way which I write because my experiences are vastly different from other people, especially
Of
with the fact
course.
that I haven't lived in one country for long until I came here. So I've always been kind of bouncing around and I travel quite a bit. So I've been around a lot. So I get to experience a lot of things that most people haven't. So and yeah, it's all in all, I love it. I love my culture. I love my ethnicity. It's so fun. It's so fun.
What is your favorite thing about your Zimbabwean heritage and your South African heritage?
Don't quote me on the South African one. Don't
No,
quote
but
me on that one.
it's your favorite thing. It can literally be Amapiano. Like, it's just, what's your favorite thing?
It is Amapiano, I'm not gonna lie. Oh, the dancing.
It
No, it's probably like the dancing aspect, I'm not gonna lie. I'm a very big dancer, but even Zimbabweans
Oh, that's
dance a lot
good.
too. So I don't know if that can be, if that's intertwined to just being Zimbabwean or not, but it's definitely the dancing aspect. But For me, the Zimbabwean one, because it's mostly what I know, it's the whole aspect on family. And I think the major difference between what people experience in their culture for family and my culture is very different, because we tend to be, we cut those terms that make it seem that family is distant. Like, we don't use the term second cousin, third cousin, all that. And we kind of make that divide where it's like, we tend to call each other the brother, sister, uncle. It makes it very personal. Mm-hmm. Even when you don't know, let's say a stranger in Zim, they'll call you something very familial. Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of the way we grew up. Everyone is kind of, in a sense, family. It's, we treat each other as family with that respect. So I love that aspect of my Zimbabwe culture.
That is really cool. I thought you were going to say, like, the food. I've heard incredible things about the food.
Zimbabwe food is great. I love Zimbabwe food, but it's that aspect for sure.
That's really cool. And, like, it's also, it speaks a lot to you. It's awesome when people are able to hold on to those, like, cultural values that root a lot of, like, traditions and cultures in Africa. So I love that, like, that's your favorite thing about your culture. That's really cool. Okay, another question. What keeps you motivated as a writer? Like, because it sounds like the time when you got inspired, when the lights sparked or whatever in your brain to, like, writing, I love this, I want to do this, even being inspired by that mentor writer that you met at such a young age, what has kept you motivated up until now, to the point where you're like, you know what, I'm ready to write something and actually like put it out into the world? And what motivates you to keep going?
It would definitely be, all right, this is very ambitious, but probably not ambitious enough, to be honest. It's the idea of me wanting to eventually turn one of my stories into either a live action or some sort of adaptation. So that's one of the things that I want to eventually do. So short-term goal for now. Short-term goal for now. And yeah. I even mimic that in the way I write, because when people read my stories, they say it's very detailed in the way I use imagery. So it's like, my favorite type of book is when I can read it and I can imagine everything happening in my mind, like it's a movie, like a film playing in your mind, right? So I write in that sense. So I make it very easy for this to be adapted one day. So if you're hearing me, Warner Brothers, Disney, I'm talking to you.
Okay. Warner Brothers, Disney, Netflix, like Prime, all y'all. Every single one of you. And by the way, I'm a director, so hey, holla. Holla. That's awesome. Okay. So I don't know if you actually answered the question, so I'm gonna ask it again. Because I read some of those reviews, and you're so right. Like, people are like, I didn't even have to, like, it was so easy to imagine the world you were trying to create, which I think is, it's awesome. I'm a very, like, visual and imaginative, like, person as well. I'm an artist, so I kind of have to see it. But I was curious about what motivates you to keep writing? What is that thing? And I know you just touched on a goal that, like, you would like to achieve, and in the name of Jesus, it will come to pass, you know? But I'm really curious, like, what keeps you going? Like, what is that thing that's, like, that, what is that thing that keeps you going?
Okay. Answering it seriously now? I think, for me, the one thing that keeps me going is probably when I look at even the younger writers or even artists, creatives that have yet to try and do something like this, because being a writer is definitely a niche. being a creative is a niche, especially for African people. It's definitely not something that's seen as stable or I'm looking for a term here. I'm not finding it, so I'm gonna shy away from that. But it's not looked upon too kindly, right?
Yeah,
So
it's not respectable. It's
it's not
not,
respectable.
yeah.
Yeah. So my goal is to eventually, I think the one thing that pushes me is the fact that I want to reach that point where I can look at other Africans and tell them that, hey, I did it. So I know full well that you'll be capable of doing it as well, especially when I have young nieces that are very talented in arts and all that. I look at them and I'm like, I want to be that the person that paved the path for them so that they can pursue that if they wanted to, rather than feeling that they're kind of oppressed. And I'm not saying my siblings are oppressive or anything like that. Love them all. But it's just that African kind of mindset where it's you need to do something more practical in order to achieve success. I want to give them that platform. It's like, you can choose something that's not practical, something that's seen as a niche, and still succeed from it by being that kind of figure for them. So I think that's, for me right now, that's the one thing that's motivating me.
That's really cool. And like, it's so, I don't know, I don't, I can't even say it's funny because it really isn't, but it's so interesting how when people hear about, oh, Wole Soyinka, he won the Nobel Peace Prize in this particular year for literature. And they hear of all these, writers that literally like are brains of their generation and creative minds, like Africans have respect. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, yeah, no, he was when he But if you're like, oh, I want to be like, well, can't be writer. Eh? He's like, you what? What do you mean? What are you talking Go and find something reasonable, Jerry. But it's like it's such a weird double standard, where it's like they do have respect for people that have done it and
Have
gotten
done it,
there.
yeah, but they don't
But
want that for
then
their child.
when Yeah, no, they don't want that for their child. They're like, ah, who? Do you know how many writers, so-called writers, are taxi drivers today? Do you know how many? And like, it's a reality, right? Because like, art making, like for the most part, you still have to pay rent. No one's paying you to write at first, right? Except you get an awesome deal, which is incredible. But yeah, there's that thing with practicality or whatever, and my gosh, it can be stressful.
It can be very stressful, yeah.
Can be really stressful. Yeah, awesome. Okay, so can you tell us when we can expect the next book in the series or your next work, your next novel? Like, when can we expect the part two?
The second part or the second book in the series is probably coming out, I want to say December. I won't give a specific date, but December or if things get pushed to the wayside, probably January at the latest. And then for the other series, we're gonna have to wait for any updates on that one because it is in the works. I have been posting about it. I am working on it. So working on two, three books right now. So all will be revealed in due time.
All will be revealed in due time. And can we expect a book with like Zimbabwean mythology or South African mythology? Like, are you thinking
There's,
of bringing it over to the
I'm working
continent
on
at some point?
it.
You're working on it?
I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm working on something that will definitely incorporate African mythology and everything like that. So, yeah, we're working
Okay.
on it. We're working
We
on
see, I will hold you to it though. I will
it.
hold you to it and say, you promised us something about Amadioha or any of the other
working on it. I promise. We're working
Awesome,
on it.
awesome. That's really good. Okay, so please, I want you to, share your where people can find your books, where people can find like your website, social media, how people can, get in touch with you, how people can leave reviews if they buy your book and they would like to leave a review. All that stuff. Just let listeners know about T. Octavius, your alter ego.
Well, The easiest one would just be going to my website, toctavius.com, and basically everything leading up to my social media and where you can find all the books is there. I'm most active on my Instagram, kind of not really because I don't really post, but we're working on that too. And that's the T. Octavius, I think. I'm not sure. I don't keep up with my social media like that, but everything is really mostly on my website. So, yeah.
Okay. So where can people, so that's where people can also find your book to buy? Is it on Amazon? Is it like?
They can also find, all the links are on there for Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo. Basically, it's on every platform. So the best way to get to that is just going to my website, going to the book section, hitting the book right now because it's only the one right there, but
the one, yeah,
hitting a book, and then it'll lead you to all the links that it's available on, either ebook or physical copies, you name it.
Okay. It's the T. Octavius. I just went on Instagram to find your Instagram name. It's the T. Octavius. It will be in, yeah, it's all good. It will be in the show notes for people that would like to check him out on Instagram. But yeah, Mr. T. Octavius, thank you so much again for coming on to the podcast. Would you leave us with a word of advice, a word of wisdom, something that we can kind of take with us and say, wise words?
I'll leave with a biblical one right here. I'll say that to remember that God doesn't call for the qualified. He qualifies those that he calls. And by that, I mean, do not disqualify yourself from ever trying to achieve anything, trying to do anything, because you never know without trying. So always put your best foot forward. Try to apply for it, no matter what it is. If you ever consider yourself not worthy or anything of that sort, never think like that. You don't know what opportunity could be waiting for you. Just try. That's the best thing I can say. Look at where I am, and I'm still going up. So you never know unless you try, right? So
thank you so much. God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called.
He qualifies those that he calls.
He qualifies those that he calls. Awesome. Thank you once again, Tulani. Really, really appreciate you coming and sharing your story and a little bit about your process on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Of course. All right. For our listeners, bye. We will see you on the next episode. Toodles.